You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
As artificial intelligence systems, including the likes of chatbots and art generators, become more advanced, their use has begun to pervade the political arena. Across the world, political leaders and parties, including Israeli President Benjamin Netanyahu, UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer, and now New Zealand's own ACT Party, have used AI images to promote a certain political agenda or message. In the case of the ACT Party, an artificial stock image from Adobe AI titled Happy Māori Couple Sitting in a Living Room was featured in a social media post underneath the tagline Kiwis are saving over $150 per week on their mortgages since ACT entered government. Producer Sarah spoke with University of Otago Media, Film and Communication Professor Dr. Olivier Jutel about this new era of AI political content. To begin, she asked him to discuss why ACT's recent social media post was so problematic.
Well, I mean, I think political communication is a dastardly business at the best of times. You know, like often you're trying to like find the average New Zealander that benefits from this tax cut or whatever, right? And that's often done through reasonably manipulative and sometimes, you know, bad faith means. Now here, it seems like the ACT Party is essentially manufacturing whole cloth this ideal middle-class Māori couple that are, as the stock image says, the happy Māori couple, right? So again, conjuring up this image of a particular community that the ACT Party doesn't have a tremendous amount of capital and good faith from. I could just go ahead and say that, right? We've seen the largest protest in New Zealand history over the Treaty Principles Bill. And it is symptomatic of this overall use of AI increasing among the political parties of the right. I mean, I should add that Todd Stevenson of the ACT Party has said to Newsroom that this was a mistake. I feel like that, I'm not really buying that, but there we go. They claim they didn't know this was an AI image that they'd used.
Yeah, like you're saying, this isn't the only time ACT or the National Party has used AI images to promote political messages. And ACT MP Todd Stevenson told Newsroom that they would never use an actor or AI to impersonate a real person. Christopher Luxon also said that he didn't see a difference between using AI photos and stock images. How would you respond to these comments?
Look, I mean, I think part of the joy that the political right gets from using AI is it's basically a massive fuck you. It's basically flipping the bird to media professionals and creatives that they tend to see as like decadent professions of the woke or something. And there's just a tremendous nihilism in AI as a sort of subculture, right? Like I'm sure you've seen in the recent weeks the OpenAI Studio Ghibli image generation products that they've launched.
Actually, I haven't. What was that?
So this is truly demoralizing, right? So look, you don't have to be a massive anime head to love Studio Ghibli. Like, you know, so Princess Mononoke and My Neighbor Totoro and Spirited Away. These are tremendous works of art and culture, and the great Miyazaki is famous for reacting so Hayao Miyazaki is one of the founders of Studio Ghibli, you know, one of the great artists of the last 50 years, and very famously he responded to an early product demo to AI generated animation. And it's a very funny moment. He basically says, look, you know, whoever made this product has sheer contempt for human life. And like, it's this thing that opponents of AI have sort of used to like dunk on AI image generation. And so Sam Altman just, you know, let this product rip, essentially as a massive FU to Studio Ghibli and the notion that there is something powerful and exclusive to, you know, Miyazaki and artists and creatives, that they have a cultural power that defies their large language models. So I think, like I say, the overall trend here is people that are gleeful in seeing a kind of massive upheavals in the creative industries. And I don't know if you remember last year when the media apocalypse, the big job losses, TV3, et cetera, all that was happening. I mean, David Seymour, his first comments to the media was like, oh, these people want sympathy? You know, like their relationship, the media class and the creative class is already on the record as not terribly warm. So,
yeah, AI can be dangerous for so many reasons. Politically, it can reinforce stereotypes and reproduce politicized assumptions about different groups. But beyond that, there's also the active replacement of human labor by artificial intelligence to the benefit of wealthy tech leaders usually, and a stark environmental impact where an AI bot is used to answer a question or produce an image. What do you think the government's role or the role of tech industries who are benefiting from the exploitation of AI should be in terms of alerting the public to these negative effects and mitigating political, environmental, and social harms?
Well, that's a really massive question. I would just say that, first off, the AI industry and tech capitalism in general is deeply nihilistic and accelerationist. There was a time like 5 or 6 years ago where the likes of Google would pay a certain amount of lip service to AI ethics. That time is over. There's no corporate responsibility in that tech sector. I mean, I'm not just objectively, that's the case. I mean, Eric Schmidt, the former CEO of Google, has talked about the climate impact of data centers and GPUs and the massive energy demands of AI. And he said, look, for all those people worried about climate, we need to burn and accelerate as much energy as possible towards AI because AI will generate the solutions to climate change. Now, that's not true, but these guys are like pot kettle committed to basically the idea of creating a kind of AI superintelligence, which is not, they're not actually going to be able to create that. As far as governments go, there have been very few governments that have sort of withstood. I mean, there's a lot of pressure, economic pressure at the moment to be sort of like a tech-led, innovative economy and to spur foreign investment and growth, et cetera, et cetera. And we've seen, you know, really crazy things like the UK government essentially announced that it's going to AI accelerate all aspects of the public service and partner with Amazon and Palantir and everywhere else. Now, We're downstream from a lot of that, but there's not a tremendous amount of conversation happening at the policy level about what kind of socially responsible AI would look like. Because again, these companies are like deeply nihilistic and are accelerating. But I would say the only sort of silver lining here is that it's an industry that it's a massive bubble, and the promise to build the AI god that will replace all the workers or whatever is just not going to happen. And even Microsoft is pulling back from some of the big data center builds that companies like OpenAI need. So I expect things to get a bit weird and go pear-shaped for the AI industry in the next 12 months or so. But it's a stark lesson that we shouldn't just accept these guys at face value and their, I mean, sometimes the emperor's got no clothes or just deeply cynical, right?
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with you there. I think AI is becoming more normalized and the use of it, especially in political content, which is quite concerning, is starting to accelerate. How do you think that this kind of normalization of AI content might affect political outcomes, specifically in Aotearoa?
I think it's less a question of people being deceived than it being a byproduct of completely chaotic and necrotic. So there's, you know, I don't know if you know the concept of inshittification, meaning that our platform experience is just getting worse and worse and getting more deluged with, you know, AI garbage that people don't actually really like. It's not that this stuff is very appealing to people. It's not that, you know, unless you're a total plagiarist, ChatGPT is not really that useful. And I guess because I'm on student radio and I'm an academic, like, guys, it's going to make up references that don't exist and your lecturers are going to find it. So, I mean, it's not the wonder hack you think it is. But I think the real sort of impact is, here's an example. I mean, the sort of worst part of political conversation online is that people just sort of copy and paste headlines at each other, and it's just sort of like a form of screaming. And here you could just sort of like, you know, generate some sort of ideal image and be like, hey, this is you or this is me, and enjoy trollishly triggering people. And I mean, it's certainly ratcheting up culture war and political tension, but I'm not sure it's at the level of people believe in it and accept it at face value, but it's still contributing overall to this sort of, yes, ratcheting up of culture war tension. And we saw crazy stuff like, you know, the Trump Gaza video or whatever. I mean, it's, yeah, definitely a big part of the culture war.
UK writer Gareth Watkins wrote of this new era of AI use, which he labels postmodern conservatism, as an imitation of realism which can produce art the way right-wingers like it, depthless imagery that yields only the reading that its creator intended. Why do you think that the use of AI has been so prominent, especially amongst right-wing political parties?
Yeah, it's a fantastic essay from Watkins. And I think, I mean, AI, it's all right. We could go back to in mid-century, Adorno and the authoritarian personality was this like seminal work which talked about how the right was really good at channeling desire and kind of a paternalistic father fetishization as a kind of, you know, figures of authority that the right gravitated towards. And I think in somebody like Musk or somebody like Trump, who are these pseudo kind of deities amongst certain portions of the right, there's just a kind of like meme culture that, yeah, I mean, we saw this going all the way back to 2016 that, like, you know, Trump is some kind of god emperor, or that MAGA has this like magic power to meme and bring into existence the reality that it's seeking to create, to make America great again, et cetera. So in that sort of online space, there's been a lot of, I guess, sort of like wish casting as part of the politics of being in those movements. And so I guess AI is like a natural fit. In New Zealand, the Free Speech Union did an AI short film, I think they called it, which was all about the case of the real estate agent not wanting to do a cultural competency course for her real estate license. I forget this woman's name. But they did a whole sort of AI slop rendering of this. And it's really, it's hard to watch. I mean, it's slop, but it's part of this sort of fantasy projection of the utopia that the right wants to build, but also at the same time it's triggering the woke creatives or media workers or those types of people, that class of worker that they view, I guess, as an opponent. So it's a natural fit for sure.
What proposals would you recommend to policymakers about the use of AI imagery in political content?
All right, so there's not really much on the books as far as the Electoral Commission is concerned. I think, again, it's a positive sign that the ACT Party has responded by saying, oh, that was a whoopsie by us. Sorry, our bad. So that sort of, it says that, like, you know, they're not quite ready to just fully detach from reality. They have left those posts up, but whatever. Look, to bring it back to the student metaphor, and I don't know what the University of Auckland policies are, but in any instance, disclosure is always key. And I don't think, I'm hopeful. I mean, people don't really enjoy having the little AI in their Snapchat or in their Instagram or whatever. Like, people understand that this is like essentially being imposed upon us by tech companies. And the benefits for you, just your average consumers, are just sort of like marginal. So I'm like hopeful that this is just like part of this, that essentially the public or consumers reject this, or that they understand that this is just part of like how all our social media platforms are just like made worse. Like, you know, Facebook is like awash with slop, X is the same. And so, yeah, I'm hoping it doesn't, at the end of the day, like, just truly resonate with people.
That's a great segue into my final question. What should consumers do to prepare for the increasing use of AI, especially in political content in the coming years?
Well, you know, It's pretty rough out there. Like, you know, again, Gemini is a great example of, you know, Google is just imposing their AI on us. Like, it used to be that Google search was a thing that at least sort of put you in charge, or at least, well, it doesn't really, right? The search algorithm is a very powerful thing, but it does present you like a range of options to give you a sense of how to seek out information. And now with Gemini, they're taking that away. So I guess our information kind of literacy practices need to be sharper than they've ever been. I'm not saying they are, but there are ways of thinking about, you know, demanding or citing the sort of original images and original research, and not simply, all right, there is a dark sort of path we could go by here where people just like invoke Grok or Gemini or whatever AI they're like invested in to like be the source of our knowledge, and retaining our own ability to access information in these like, you know, powerful ways is just so vital. So let's not give that up, folks.
That was Olivia Jutil from the University of Otago on the use of AI in political content following the ACT Party's recent social media post.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.